Do you enjoy Film Sack? Probably, because you're here. Well, thanks for being here, first of all. And second of all, if you feel like supporting shows like this on the Frog Pants Network, there's a way to do it. Go to patreon.com/frogpants today.
What is it?
Our biotechs are in full meltdown mode. This is a highly resilient organism, able to survive the bitter cold of space and the searing heat of re-entry. Initial cellular diagnostics show it exhibits monoploid characteristics with high levels of calcium dipicolinate, both commonalities to an endospore.
Spore? Jesus.
One thing's for sure, it ain't from around here.
Now, all I have is a mission. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 390. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Go on, Superman Dunaway.
Oh, I will. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on... Wait, is that Daniel Craig? Because that guy looks a lot like Daniel Craig. Does Daniel Craig have a brother? Is there a Danny Craig? Maybe a Donnie Craig? Hold up! That is Daniel Craig. Uh-oh. I think I just missed 15 minutes of the movie lost in some kind of Daniel Craig brother doppelganger spore mind loop. And for a brief moment, the world was just a little bit better for the possibility of two Craigs. Uh-huh. Twist ending, he has a brother. Twisted sister ending, he also has a sister. The Craigs. More interesting than this movie.
Yeah. Daniel Craig. Pre-Bond.
I'm serious. I was like, I literally saw Daniel Craig in the opening, you know, his first couple of shots, and I literally did not think there was any way that that was Daniel
it's
Craig.
It's his hair,
I thought
dude.
That has to be somebody that looks like him.
It's his hair. It's his hair, I'm
it
telling
totally
you.
It totally freaked me out.
Yeah. His hair's jacked. Weird. Also with us, Randy, I think the waiter's barfed in there, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Hi.
Thanks, Brian. In today's world news, a mysterious virus has gripped the attention of the international scientific community. Sorry, I feel like we've heard that one before. Okay. The spreading pandemic afflicts victims with zombie-like symptoms, but does not turn people into traditional zombies. No, this is different. Oh, sorry. I apologize. It's just this news piece is so formulaic. I'm sorry. Okay, all right. Researchers at a local hospital who will somehow have the expertise and experiments to understand the alien microorganism are set to put an end to it and be elevated to news superstardom by the end of the day tomorrow. Well, really? So it's just going to be, if this is Deus Ex Machina in real life. Okay, all right. In entertainment news, Steven Spielberg has located a group of five plucky preteens who are also solving the global crisis while every adult in their mid-sized Midwestern town succumbs to it. Nice. Back to you.
Nice. It's a great, best local news ever. I'm enjoying it. Finally, Brian punched the neighbor kid and now he's my new son, Ibbot.
Yeah. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
Hello, Carol Bennell. I'm here from the Census Bureau at 9 p.m. on a Thursday night because that's how we do things now. And this isn't the big official paperwork census. No, this is the I'm just going to come into the house and barf in your coffee census. What? You still don't want to let me in? I can offer you a gift certificate to Chili's for just a few minutes of your time. Still no, huh? Okay. Chili's gift certificate and a copy of VeggieTales on Blu-ray. No? It's almost as if you had to deal with somebody in your life being turned into a mindless drone by a controlling outside force. I don't know, maybe like a husband or something?
Hey.
You had me at Chili's, though. Yeah. I was ready. Yeah. I'm like, come in.
I'm always ready.
I'm
that was
so
weird.
I'm going to go have chicken crispers on you.
Yeah. And those...
That was such a weird scene. It was just like... And one end of the spectrum was like, that's absurd. That would never happen. And then I'm like, oh, my God, that is so absurd that it's scary.
Yeah, it is scary. Well, that moment.
But the fact that, like, all right, number one, he can reach through that little slot. The door. How good is that chain thing if you can fit a human arm in there to remove the chain
thing?
Number two.
Go ahead.
Oh, number two, he's like gonna, you know, do what he can to like kick down the door so forcefully it throws her back. But then when she finally gets it closed and locked, he's just gonna kind of shrug his shoulders and say, "Well, I guess I can't use this briefcase to break a window."
And also, by the way, who has all these homes where you and I can see each other while I'm inside and you're outside? Oh, so right. Clearly.
Yes, exactly.
I have never.
Yeah.
Those windows would have a goddamn curtain, okay?
Yeah, they should. Why they don't, nobody knows. Hey, the movie's The Invasion, by the way. And it's this deal that's basically just another riff or take on Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
2007.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I'm going to just get it out now.
Please get it out.
This is not a great movie. It's kind of poorly made.
What?
You can kind of, hold on, then hear me out. You can tell that this director, Oliver Herschel Bergel,
Herschel Bergel.
Herschel
Bergel.
It's something like that. It says, trivia says it's his first English-speaking movie. I think it shows. Sometimes this happens. It's difficult to say. But outside of Nicole Kidman's performance, which is fine, everyone else is kind of terrible. All that being said, and how derivative the material is and everything else, I had a blast watching this movie. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I was in the right mood or something, but I enjoyed the hell out of The Invasion.
Can we please reel it back? Outside of Nicole Kidman's performance, the worst thing in the film, everyone else was really good, Scott.
Oh, that is crack that you're smoking there, because everybody's bad except for her. And I'm not saying she's doing anything great. I'm saying she's, you know, it's phoned in. It's not her best work by any stretch of any imagination, but it's fine.
I disagree with that.
Who's good? Name someone who's good in this.
I thought
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright was amazing.
No, this is Jeffrey Wright's job. All he did in this movie was sit there and go, "Wow, you got the techno babble, 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 babble," and that's all he said. That's all he said.
Right. He played the role he was given. He did it well.
Okay.
All of the older people, the people at the dinner party, they were all great.
Oh, I don't.
Kidman,
I genuinely believed most of this film that we were going to find out Nicole Kidman was patient zero and she'd been a zombie all along. She was so stone cold, zero chemistry with anyone, including her own kid. You would think a woman could figure out how to act in a way that seemed motherly. No, she was horrible.
I actually thought that was great because it showed. I actually thought that was intentional because we first get introduced to the ex-husband's home life, and he goes home to what's the lady's name? His girlfriend.
Yeah.
She goes to her. Anyway, he goes home, and his girlfriend is sitting on the couch, and the house is a disaster.
Thought it was the babysitter.
I did too, because she's so much younger. But it's such a disaster. And so then they bring Nicole Kidman's character back in. We get to see her home life, and she is such a organized, structured person. You see now why there was tension between between the two actors or the two characters during their marriage. So I actually like the fact that she was very clinical. I thought it played to her character. I think she played that well. That was one of the few things that I kind of actually like was how.
Wow. I certainly didn't pick up on any of that. It makes sense. I mean, I can see, I think he's just a mess because he's always on the road traveling and.
Right.
And it doesn't.
But he comes home to her and she's pretty much, you know, she's a little younger. She's blonde. She's everything that his wife was essentially. Younger, but a mess.
Yeah. Well, but who is she anyway? Because she says, "I could have been sleeping in my own bed." So is she, is she an ex? Is she a current girlfriend?
She's the current girlfriend.
No, she's chicken the bucket.
Sleeping in the bed next to him when he's all skinned up.
She slept next to him when he all.
Hold on, chick. Yes, you say chick. Here's bucket. Nice to meet you.
What?
She's chicken the bucket.
Yes, she disappeared pretty early. Sure.
She didn't.
The actress. Oh my goodness! I'm racking my brain for her name.
I know.
She's a deep sleeper. She can sleep through anything.
Her only purpose in this film was for the director to have her go into a bathroom that was very brightly lit and take off some clothes.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. But that
was, I actually did like how he he went. So the last one we saw was Invasion of the Body Snatchers from the 70s, and it was a very dark movie. Almost everything took place at nighttime. Mm-hmm. Everything was cast. Yeah. This movie was very bright. It was a nightmare in the daytime.
Well,
I kind of like that.
It's bright, but it still feels like the director had a puke green filter on the camera the entire movie.
He did.
Like, here's a bright, clean, well, yeah, of course.
Everything was supposed to look
subway, well lit. Yeah, but why is there still like this garbagey puke tint on?
Right. Like Randy said, there was some really good. Okay. So I think this movie, like we had said, the director is not English speaking. This is his first one. There was a lot of good things. He got a certain distance in this film and they took it out of his hands and they had the Wachowskis come in and finish up stuff.
Yeah, they rewrote some editing. Rewriting.
In this movie, I think this movie really suffers from that split vision in the end.
There's an uncredited director, James McTeague, and I don't know what his deal was, if he came in later to pick up. Okay, was that the thing?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with any of the tone of it. I liked that it was kind of nonstop. Crazy, like I had fun with it. I don't know if I just like the trope of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers idea in the first place or something, and I think I do. The idea of everyone being kind of a drone and saying we're coming, you're next, so and so, and then you know at the end of the only person you could rely on the whole movie is now one of them, and
it is really fun to imagine yourself in this situation.
No, it's not.
Like, I'm yelling at her for a good first hour, going, how has she not figured out? Like, I would have figured out that people were turning into zombies within a few seconds of them.
Yeah, basically, when you're walking down the street and you see everybody standing there at the bus stop all staring at you, and then you look over the other side of the street and everybody's all staring at you, that's pretty much the point. I'm like, okay, all right, there's some, this isn't the flu.
Also,
something a lot worse.
Also, by the way, she's a human psychology expert, and the movie wants to tell a moral tale about psychiatric drugs, but it decides, let's just introduce that subject and not really talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of loose threads, and I mean, this thing was loose threads. But I don't know. I'm with Scott. I enjoyed myself. I had a lot of fun, but sometimes I did feel like.
I mean, it's not good. It's not good. I don't want to confuse. I don't want anyone to hear me and go, "Oh my gosh, Scott, what is wrong with you?" I'm not saying this is good or that it's it compares even favorably to the 70s remake or the original book or anything.
Heck no.
I'm just saying there was fun to be had, and the pacing I think is what was good for me because it just was ridiculous and bad, but consistently so, and had a really good rhythm to it, and it was always something actiony happening and somebody chasing somebody. And all the tropes are there on full display, just big, thick dollops of tropes.
I did not have fun with this.
I did not have fun. I didn't love it. What was there anything?
Yeah, what was missing for you?
Yeah. Any sense of
reality?
Not reality. Well, sure, but I mean, any sense of urgency. All right, so really all I have to do, I can get through this, and all I have to do is just be stoic and kind of walk through and not show any emotion. Great. It seems like a really relatively easy thing to do once you figure out that you can do that.
Right.
And yet, you know, she still breaks out of that, like still blows it time and time again. Like, wait, no, I'm sorry. No emotion.
She always like that. Can you imagine? Okay. Lack of sleep. I think we all get kind of wonky. So, I mean, to maintain your composure and also to have like, you know, can you actually go a week without sleep? This seems like I don't think you can. I couldn't go 24 hours without sleep. Could you?
And you can. And if you go to sleep for just a couple minutes, you get all patchy. Right. Yeah. You get all patchy, but you can wake yourself up out of that with some Mountain Dew and some pills. Like you'll be
also, these aliens have zero. They have crappy security. It's like they first of all, they didn't think about, well, what if someone's got an immunity because of some weird disease they had? Okay. Well, we don't really have an answer for that. If it happens, we just kill them. But then the worst part is, how do we know that everyone around us is properly converted?
Exactly.
They just you just look at them for a minute and make sure they look bored.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yes. And then if you don't, you get 12 of your best friends to chase them all over the city.
And if they would have watched me while I was watching this film, they would have thought that I was converted.
Scott, I need you to rein it in. You were winning me over. Yeah. Let's come back.
All right. I still know everything that Brian didn't like, it worked on me. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't even think the characters are that likable. Like, I kind of
think... I'll buy that Rick and Glenn can smother themselves with zombie guts and walk down the streets of Atlanta to get to a car and escape because the zombies don't smell that they're alive or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, the biggest head scratcher in this film is, okay, well, all you have to do is just act like you're, you know, a zombie and they'll ignore you.
This movie and this series, this whole story taps into a couple of real primal fears for me. And that is, it's a real thing. It's a real thing where people believe, the person they're with has been abducted, right? They believe that they're not the person who they say they are. And so that's a real primal fear, and it gets me every time. And the fact to not make any mistakes, as a human being, you can't make any mistakes to conform and to show up. And oh my God, I feel like I make mistakes constantly, and to have that kind of pressure on me to walking through the street and not to flinch. Oh my gosh, also, not flinching.
It's also fun that this movie was made a few seconds before everybody got on Twitter, because what a different story now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no suspense whatsoever now. Now it's like, the first hour of this movie where everybody's like, is there something going on? I don't know what it is. We would know this is happening in 30 minutes or less.
Right. And she Googled it.
Well, we'd see it on Twitter and we'd brush it off like, okay, whatever. Unfollow.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria.
Yeah.
Click.
Yeah. I mean,
No, we wouldn't, Brian Ibbett. We would be walking alongside our slowly moving cars within 30 minutes.
There's such a conformist idea here in this movie. It's like, we don't want to accuse someone of not being who they say they are, but we want people to believe us as well. And there's all of these elements going on. And I thought that part was actually a really good portrayal of what's going on here. It's like, one of the first times we really find out that something amiss is going, besides we saw the shuttle crash and said, here, I found this on my roof, touch this. We had the lady show up and say her husband isn't her husband. And that lady was from the 76 version, by the way. She was
Veronica Cartwright.
Cartwright. So I don't know. Just from that little slow start, and just, I think the greatest fear is in the beginning when it's like, oh, am I going crazy or is something really going on? And how do you prove it? You can't really prove it. And if you tell the wrong person, you don't know who to trust. Ooh,
yeah.
That stuff. Oh,
yeah, no, it's good. That's why it works as a genre. It's kind of a subgenre, and it's a solid take. I just, this isn't the best version of it, but I don't know why I liked it. I honestly feel I should have been like Ibbett. Like, as much as I want to keep taking you down the road, Randy, if it's not wrong, I think maybe it was my mood.
It just didn't feel like there was any sort of, they're telling us there's danger, but there didn't feel like there was any danger. It felt like
the kid was never in any real danger. The only danger we saw was the reflection from Nicole Kidman to let us know that her kid was in danger. And I didn't really buy that.
I bought
her fear, but not her fear for her son.
Mm. And that's the thing. Like, the one thing I never could pick up on was her actually acting like a human being. Like, she is so robotic. It's insane that this movie was made and completed and distributed with this incredibly robotic performance by the lead, who's supposed to be the non-robot character surrounded by robots. It's like crazy to me. Having said that, I really, really enjoyed all the little things. Like, could I go out in the subway and act like a zombie? And would I be perceived correctly? Like, that really intrigues me.
Mm-hmm. I was a little pissed off though when her son's friend came up and said, "We know who you are," in the train, and she was in the bathroom, and she was like, I just want to go in here and do this on my own. Right. Is that okay? And they were like, "Yeah, you're good. Just go ahead. Have a good time.
Can I convert privately, please? Yeah. I can't deal with everybody watching me."
Yeah. Right. Hold your butt down. Some of that stuff was weird. So satisfying though when she threw that kid across the room and he knocked his head It's like, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I shouldn't feel good about that, but yeah.
Jeez.
Well, yeah, I made the horrible error, by the way, when this film finished. I should have gone to bed. It was late. It was like 11 o'clock, and I went, actually, I need to go farm some stuff in WoW. Maybe I'll play WoW, and I'll watch something else while I'm doing that. So I turned on one of the recommended things at the end of the credits that, you know, Netflix pops up and says, maybe you'd like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it was some Netflix original called Spectrum, I think. Yeah, Spectrum. And it was... Don't do that for FilmSack, by the way, because here's what happens. It was also about weird science fiction stuff. It was also about a weird spore thing. But it was a totally different take on it. And it wasn't Invasion of the Body Snatchers. These things would kill people. But lots of talk of spores and weird technology and science and stuff, to the point that just this morning, while I'm playing the intro clip of that guy describing what they found from the shuttle crash, I thought I'd screwed up and put the intro from the other movie in here. Now, I didn't, but this is just word to the wise out there for people. If you're going to do a show about movies, don't watch back-to-back movies that have similar tropes and
you can't remember which is which.
No, and I'm playing WoW at the same time, so part of it's like, wait, where's the scene where I had to fetch 50 pig pelts or whatever? Like, it's all jacked up in my head, so I'm hoping today I don't completely conflate the two, but... if you're looking for similar throwaway entertainment that's not very good but kind of fun, actually that movie's all right. The other one, Spectrum.
Right.
This
film is very derivative. Like, I thought of so many previous films while watching it that I got a little bit confused. Like, it doesn't have one new thought in its tiny brain.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't have any new ideas, and that's the. Maybe I didn't want to be burdened with too much new information.
We didn't need it because this is a remake, so I wouldn't expect any really new ideas. And I definitely did not need scientific explanation scene. They could have totally dumped that.
Jeopardy. You think? Because it feels like all these films have that, and if it isn't here, then you miss it, right? Like, it's. We need to have Joe Scientist explain in words we're never going to understand with made up content and made up garbage to say, this is caused by the white blood cells being attacked. And look how they pop like.
And also there's a screenwriting process there where you're like, OK, if I'm going to have this, I need to get a sample into this guy's hands. Where do I get it from? And you start working backwards to this Halloween trick-or-treating scene, which was a fun little scene. I enjoyed it. Like, with the kids going door to door and the guy with the angry dog, like that. That's perfectly fine. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. In a movie like this, you expect it. It's like Ibbett said, it's just in there. And most of it's made up.
And, you know, the best example of not having that, I think, is Cloverfield, where you've got all this stuff happening and you don't ever get the perspective of the officials, like the people in the helicopter saying, OK, well, here's what this thing looks like. Here's where we think it came from, blah, blah, blah. It's just all from the perspective of the participants or the unwilling participants, the victims. And that could have been a good direction. This, you know, I'm kind of seeing your point, Brian. If we didn't have that, maybe I would have liked it better. Maybe it's like
a little more mystery.
You know, Nicole Kidman never knows what's causing this. She just figures out, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, because maybe she thinks it's her who's going crazy. But
I just don't like that she's the key to solving it. You know, it's that her kid is the solution, and she's the only one who can possibly. There has to be like a 100,000 people who have that ADM drugs or whatever it was.
There are plenty of good examples out there, like the Aliens movies. Aliens, all the Alien movies, especially the first two,
they have
exposition about how stuff works and where things are going and why are they doing the thing they're doing, especially in Aliens, the sequel. But it's so deftly handled that you don't think about it. It's just they're in a boardroom and they're talking about it, and it's like, okay, well, all right. It's not like some guys to sit there and seriously, sternly look at the camera and go, well, what we've got here is the xenomorph has the deal with the stuff and the deal. And, you know, they don't have to do that. And I would much have preferred this movie not done that. But then part of me thinks if they had done it right, the rest was so bad, it would have been a bad clash. So I don't know.
The other problem I had with this was the matter of convenience. Every character that she was surrounded by had a particular set of skills that I'm like, why would she be friends with this?
Okay, but
why would she be in this position? That was so weird.
But you have to understand, the movie is telling you the story of the people who figured it out, and so like you're proposing a chicken and egg problem. Like, yes, if random people were selected and the camera followed them, you would not have an interesting story. But in the entire population of Earth, a couple of people happen to be
combination.
Right. They happen to be uniquely suited to deal with this or to understand it. So that's who we're looking at.
Oh, so more so than like, I don't know, top scientists
or apparently
NASA engineers who saw this thing and said, okay, well, let's go get these things and analyze what this crap is. And
right.
Yes. You want that movie. You make that movie, Brian Ibbett. We're watching this movie now.
I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, that movie sounds so much better. I want
to watch the good movie that I'm describing.
So this is pretty great. My favorite thing about the trivia I'm about to read you is that they buried the headline hard in this, in my opinion. Let's see if you guys can find it. While filming in Baltimore, Daniel Craig got a call from Barbara Broccoli informing him he won the role of James Bond. He had to take a short period off shooting to fly back to London for the Casino Royale press release. Now, my favorite thing about that line is that lady's name. Barbara Broccoli is a fantastic name.
Cubby Broccoli's she's Cubby Broccoli's daughter. Cubby Broccoli is the longtime producer of all the all the original Sean Connery.
I don't know who these people are.
Scott has clearly not watched James Bond films.
I want James Bond trivia for Babel Royale.
The name Albert R. Broccoli is on every single one of them so much.
Yeah, but
Scott,
I don't look at the credits. I'm waiting for Odd Job and freaking Jaws and stuff.
Well, you see it before. Right. I think it's one of the few things you see at the beginning of the film, like when they pan the little lens across and follow James Bond. And it closes.
Now we know exactly when Scott looks over at WoW to collect the bear asses.
I'm glad, Scott.
The bear asses.
I'm glad it amused Scott. I like it.
Here's the only proof I ever had of a Mr. Broccoli.
I look forward to your report, Mr. Broccoli.
That's it. That's the best I got.
Man. I'm so glad we bought you time to look up that sound, Scott. Well done.
Scott's watching broccoli.
It's not hard.
Broccoli.
I just have to search for B-R-O-C and I had it. But anyway. I had no idea. I don't know who that is, but all right, whatever. He's James Bond now. Can you imagine him coming back and going, I got to finish this piece of shit before I get to go change my career forever. That must have sucked for him. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he was enjoying himself.
And they probably want him to cut his hair. So was that his hair throughout, or was that a wig?
I think that's real hair.
That was definitely his hair throughout. Yeah.
They just cut it real short in the Bond things, and I think he buffed up for that first one.
I hope so.
He wasn't as buffed out in this movie.
He's so dreamy.
He's a hunk of a dude.
But he looks like he'd be insufferable.
Yeah. In this movie, he absolutely does. I think maybe post Bond, I don't feel as much about that way about him as I used to. But like this and the Tomb Raider movie that he was in that we saw here, I hate him in these movies. I don't like him in this one. I think he's annoying as shit. And the entire time I looked at him, I was like, all right, when are you turning? It was just a matter of time before he turned, and it drove me crazy.
I like his Logan Lucky.
That was great
character, and I feel like. Like, had he not done the Bond things, a great film trajectory would have been like all the Guy Ritchie stuff. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. That kind of character for him, more than James Bond, I think it would have been really, really interesting direction for him.
Yeah.
Also, I felt him very relatable. Like, we first meet him when he's picking her up to take her to work, and you realize, they're kind of seeing each other, but they're not really serious yet. And I just felt like, he has so much more chemistry with her than she has with him.
Right.
I felt like I wanted to push her out of the car and replace her and be like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Yeah.
It
wasn't until they stopped making out that I'm like, those two aren't together. I thought for the first half an hour that they were together as a couple.
Yeah.
Same. You know, I was hoping they would have a little more exposition on how he felt about his gunshot wound to the leg. After he woke up from his spore dreams.
Oh, right. No, they don't ever explain that. What's his deal? Are they married? Are they together?
I'm assuming. Yeah, I'm assuming afterwards they made up and everything is good.
But where is he at the very end? Where is he?
He's at the table eating with her.
He's at the table. It's a weird reveal too. It's like, you know, they're sitting in the kitchen and she's giving her son food to go take to school or whatever. And then there's talking from behind a newspaper, and we're supposed to be surprised that when the newspaper comes down, it's Daniel Craig.
Right. Who else is
it's such a weird reveal.
Yeah. They also Star Trek episodes the hell out of the ending of this thing.
Exactly what I wrote, because it was like drama escalation, science.
5 minutes before later.
Can we have a Trump alert?
Sure, I got that. Oh man, it's so far over here. Here it is.
In order to explain everything else going on in the world, we're gonna fill this movie with news. Coming at you live. Back, I'm over here in the background on the television, telling you all the extra exposition that you need to know.
Yeah, I do like the part of that news bit though, that where they've taken actual people who are commenting on something else, like a plane crash or something, and then use it.
I done touched it. I don't feel so good anymore.
Yeah, there's something about all that.
Great.
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah,
we try to keep people from touching it.
Yeah,
half of that, and maybe, you know, devote a little more time to explaining who the heck Nicole
you know what
Kidman
I
is.
What oh, I right. really yeah. needed yeah. what I really needed at the end was like you know, a big old God voice, and just kind of a pullback and a description of what just happened.
Yeah, that would have at least made it
like
a little
maybe a little Morgan Freeman in there, just you know, suddenly for no reason.
Give me another quick trope alert, okay. Just because I want to make sure I throw this at Brian Dunaway. What you really need, Brian Dunaway, is a delicious Mountain Dew. Oh my God.
Oh, no that kidding. Like, good product placement.
It's it starts with this. She's frantic. And you realize, oh, this is a bookend. I'm seeing the end of the film at the beginning. Right. And you realize that. And she's like frantically looking at drugs and stuff. And right next to the drugs in the store, Mountain Dew. Because, you know, that's where you put the Mountain Dew, right? And right, she pulls it up. She pulls it out perfectly framed in her hand for you to read the label.
Yep. Do they have, are they a Pepsi company? I can never remember. Are they Coke?
They are, yeah. They're Pepsi.
Okay, because there's a big Pepsi leader thing that she
Coke
tipped over.
Because the Coke one is mellow yellow.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. But there's that scene later where she's drinking, she's trying to stay awake with the Pepsi leader thing. And it tips over and spills all over the place when she finally falls asleep in the store. Yeah, and yeah. So she's got some kind of Pepsi deal going on.
I will guarantee you could make
if she can only drink from 2 liter bottles, despite the fact they're probably cans right next to that. But.
Yeah.
I will guarantee you could make a super cut of this film that would be nothing but Pepsi products, shots of Pepsi products, and it would be 7 minutes long. Seriously.
Yeah. Right. And shots of Nicole Kidman with a shocked look on her face.
Yeah.
Just interspice those all the way through.
She would eventually surgically make that permanent. Nah, I'm just kidding.
Right.
By the way, I have a better chick in the bucket for you, I think.
Oh, well, here.
Better than Malin Ackerman? All right.
When she first realizes that something's really wrong, she goes to her office. And as she walks in, you're supposed to wonder whether or not her receptionist and the delivery guy have already been transformed.
Yeah.
Sure. The delivery guy, there was clearly a missing scene with the delivery guy. Like, he is introduced, and then it just nothing.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It feels like he's just there to, you know, the fact that as soon as she leaves the room and he kind of gives the receptionist the nod, it's like, okay, they're turned. And
yeah, I didn't buy it. I knew she was turned from that second on, go ahead.
The delivery guy did not follow her into her office and try to spit in her face. And it's like,
because she's so stiff.
Cause the lady had the tea and she already spit in the tea.
I think the nod was, you got this, all right, I'm gonna go deliver these Amazon boxes to the people next door and barf in their coffee.
This film caused me to spend so much time wondering when that delivery guy was gonna pop up, like,
right,
that guy was so bucketed.
Special
and I'm
delivery.
Just convinced I'm convinced that there was more and it just got edited out.
This because I've got like 80 more packages to deliver.
Yeah. So. Feel bad for the aliens who all were UPS drivers, because they just got to spend their day going, I got to deliver these packages and barf on your face. Oh, the whole day is going to go by so slow today.
So was that caviar full of spores? Was it spore VR out there were eating? Because I knew they puked into the buckets, right?
That was
that tandem.
Oh, you mean at the conference?
Yeah.
Yes.
At the dinner thing. So, yeah. I think it was just the barf into the drinks thing that they did. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So from our camera angle down the center of the aisle we just see the two waiters kind of bend forward in unison and stand up like all robotic. That's great. That's great if you're sitting in the middle on the aisle. But there's no way that the people on the outsides of the the audience didn't see these two people horking into the coffee. It only works from one angle.
I agree. I totally agree. That bugged me to no end.
Why wouldn't you do that in the back?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Because somebody's going to see what you're doing.
Right.
Right.
That's so gross, though. That's why it worked.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. Was that the thing out of all the things?
Yeah, by far.
Curled Scotch toes.
By far, the two waiters, because that looked more like they were, I don't know, that looked like they were horking it up, whereas everybody else was like Spider-Man out of their mouth, like not that big a deal.
It's just so crazy. So that every time they spewed, it reminded me of an SNL skit. It just looks so dumb. Yeah. Because, I mean, that the spores modified and attached themselves to our brains, but did it also create some kind of spray pockets in our throats?
I guess.
The science was breaking down for me at that point.
Spray pockets.
Like it's supposed to be microbial and really only a psychological change that it's doing to you.
That
was a bridge too far for me, because I can't really think of a better way to transmit this thing, but that was not the way. That shouldn't have been the way.
I tend to agree. By the way, Daniel Craig, this is not his first trip to the rodeo with Jeffrey Wright. He has appeared in the following films together: Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, 1992.
Hold on. You're getting all laggy, and I think it's probably for all of us.
Fantastic. That's what
it's fine for me.
Oh, good now.
It was bad for a second, but it's good now.
Oh, we're okay then? We're all good? Brian, you still hear me weird?
Should be. I still hear you weird.
Oh, that's weird. You other two hear me fine?
I hear you fine.
I'm catching a break every once in a while, but not too bad.
Let me see if I've got anything. I don't have anything going. Oh, you know what? Dropbox all of a sudden. Well, I don't have anything. Oh, yes. It's because, quit Dropbox.
That'll happen.
All of a sudden, I get a text from Hammond. I'm sending you all my cake albums.
Great.
So Dropbox is
Thank you for being helpful, Dropbox. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is how we shoehorn in an advertisement for a whole other podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
He's uploading. He's uploading. How would that song go? He's uploading. He's lagging.
He's uploading the distance. He's uploading for speed.
All alone with his bandwidth.
All alone. And he's
on soundography.com.
There you go.
Well, I didn't give the name of the podcast until then, Randy.
Hey, whatever.
Well, you should.
Whatever it takes.
You should. All right. You should get on brand a lot better, Brian. All right.
Daniel Craig and Jeffrey Wright.
All right.
Felix Leiter.
Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, 1992. That was their first gig together. Then they did Casino Royale, which filmed and released in 2006, the same time that this film was filmed, but they did reshoots in 2007. So in theory, some of the stuff in this movie that we just saw had Daniel Craig from post-Bond being refilmed into this, and maybe his hair was fake. I don't know. Anyway, and then Quantum of Solace, of course, in 2008. So those two would go on to do some cool stuff. And the first time I really even knew who Jeffrey Wright was Casino Royale. Never even heard of the guy before. I love him now. Like, he's great on Westworld. He's great on other stuff he does. Every time he shows up on screen, I go, ooh, a Jeffrey Wright movie. Sweet. I like this guy a lot. I don't think he's given a whole lot to work with here, though. I think he's just there to speak the techno babble and move on to the next scene. And it kind of bums me out, because I think that guy's a hugely talented actor.
He wasn't in Cowboys and Aliens. That just seems like that would have been a good fit for him, too.
Could have been,
I don't think so.
You'd see him in a hat
It does feel like it would be a good fit. He didn't really, basically as soon as he got the beard, then it's like everybody wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He had the beard. Didn't he have the beard as Felix Leiter in... James Bond? Like
Yes.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I think he's never lost that since that.
I know he had that in Hunger Games.
Yeah. Oh, he's in Hunger Games? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's
in the Hunger Games movies.
Mm.
Mind-blowing fact that Scott kind of went past there. Guys, it's been 10 years since Quantum of Solace.
12 years.
10 years has passed.
10 years since Quantum of Solace, What's
that?
That feels like such a newer movie to me than 10 years old.
Yeah. Ooh, that's weird.
While we're looking at IMDb, can I just direct your attention to the IMDb photo of, our young actor Oliver, played by Jackson Bond in this film.
Let's take a look.
No updated picture.
He is an actor in Hollywood with credits in 2009, 2012, and a credit from last year, 2017. Yes. In 2017, he was going to be 21 years old, guys. His picture, I'm going to say 6-year-old.
He has a weird disease.
From this movie, probably. Yeah,
he has a weird disease. Yeah. He never looks older. Just stays the same.
Whoa. He's
the Emmanuel Lewis of our time. Just doesn't change.
I thought Emmanuel Lewis was the Emmanuel Lewis of our time.
Yeah, he's a year older than Tristan, and yeah, they're still on his IMDb page using his 6-year-old glamour shots. I'm surprised you didn't point us to the Wes.
Aaron?
The guy we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, Wes Johnson is my second favorite IMDb photo.
Yes. Where is he?
There I don't know.
Is. Go
I'm
down
digging
there.
Down deep.
The news.
I'm down,
so, you got to go to the second page. It's Wes Johnson. He's credited as the newsstand guy that was like telling his wife about how he was into the romance
or
whatever.
A throwaway weird conversation that had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But look at his face. That is the best IMDb photo of all time.
Look at his teeth, Scott. Yeah. Look at his teeth.
Look at his dental work.
What's cool is if you go to that photo on IMDb and then go back and forth between that photo and the next one, it's like angry Wes Johnson. Happy Wes Johnson. Calm Wes Johnson. Happy Wes. You know, like going back and forth.
This would be a fun, it'd be a good gif, wouldn't it?
It would be a great gif, like back and forth.
I'm going to make one.
My third favorite, I actually went through every single picture for this one. My third favorite is there's a character in this movie called Elderly Lady.
Oh, yeah. She
played by a woman named Jean Shirtler. Jean Shirtler. Find her in the list and look at her picture. Her IMDb photo is literally of her, an old woman, and she's smacking the hell out of the Virgin Mary.
Jean Shirtler.
Jean Shirtler is smacking the Virgin Mary her IMDb photo.
What is that about? That's
was
crazy.
That the lady
the movie,
on the train who was whining
the
about
Pecker.
The shot?
That's not from the movie Pecker, is it?
It is from Pecker.
Yeah, Pecker. We got to see that. Edward Furlong and Christina Ricci.
What? I never saw Pecker. What was Pecker about? What's the deal there? What's the plan?
It's about a guy's Pecker.
No, Furlong is a amateur photographer.
Oh,
taking pictures of
takes,
Pecker.
Takes pictures of things and gets involved in fun little
hijinks.
Casual hijinks.
This is before he went full drug overdose guy, right? Like he's a mess now. Am I thinking of the right Edward Furlong?
Yes.
Terminator, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things went rough for him after that.
John Connor. Our first John Connor.
John Connor.
Well, technically our second.
We never see John Connor in
You're right.
Oh no, I guess we do see John Connor because he sends what's his face back in the first movie.
Oh right. He has a scar down his face and he sends Reese back. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So we're going back, Reese.
Yeah.
I totally buried the whole point. Pecker is a John Waters film, Scott.
Pecker is?
Yes, it's a John Waters film.
Okay, well now I'm interested because I used to be fascinated by John Waters films.
He is a fascinating fellow, and if I haven't mentioned it in a long time, his audio book where he hitchhikes across the United States is very funny.
Yeah, he did some. Was it a podcast or something? He did some kind of multi-episode podcast that was part of that, and it was audio of those trips. And he is an interesting dude.
It's called Carsick, and I recommend it. It's very funny.
Maybe it was audiobook I was hearing. I don't remember now. Yeah, but it's really good. A good recommendation. Hey, one quick thing about the plot that I just almost forgot to mention, and this makes me think that the rewrites and the reshoots had something to do with my feeling here. But am I the only one who felt like about midway through this movie, they were trying to say to us that this was affecting all the men and not the women? Because
maybe that was that other Netflix movie you watched.
No, I thought about that, but it wasn't that. It was like it was always like everyone's husband first and the boy in the family and not the girls yet.
Men are always taking naps.
But my point is, I think that was supposed to be their twist, and then it got rewritten, reshot out of there. I don't think they kept it. But they started down that road.
Yeah, and it really is solid men for a while. But I think that's also just a choice because, you know, men zombies are just so much more frightening and aggressive.
I disagree.
You know?
I disagree. Women zombies scare me. So,
well, that's yeah, a whole different issue. Both of those truths can be true at the same time. Randy's take on it and you being afraid of women zombies can be true separately.
Speaking of weird stuff, there was a couple effects that they used in this film. And by effects, I mean just simple directing. And one of the things that always freaks me out, something weird about a person with just a wide open mouth coming at you. That's just, I don't know what it, like, yeah, totally. Like the census taker. I mean, it was intense that he was reaching through the door, but every time he would pop that mouth open,
yes,
while he was doing it, I'm like, oh.
Well, that's what that movie Legion was like. The whole horror of that movie Legion was based on, not the TV show, but the movie.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
What is that fear?
Well, there's a mouth open. That's why they
there is a genuine fear of that.
That's why people do that weird effect of making their mouth seem artificially wider, like they'll CGI wide open.
Yeah.
I think it's play on that fear. You know,
and we can all remember from seeing the other Body Snatchers movie with Sutherland that moment where he's like doing where he's pointing and doing with his mouth wide open.
Yeah, is it horror? I mean, and then I don't know. Yeah. It's such a weird thing that gets me. Oh, one more thing I want to say before we do whatever we're gonna do. I also want to say there were way too many shots of mufflers and gas and brake pedals. This dude, depending on this, every time we needed to know that the car was about to go fast, he would throw a shot in of pointy shoes here. Nicole Kidman or pointy shoes hitting the gas or hitting the brake, and then muffler shots.
Yeah, she hit the brake with both feet in one shot.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a favorite shot of this director.
It was distracting.
Yeah. Or his replacement.
It's like,
director.
Okay, I need you to get here. We're gonna take about 20 shots of you. No, I'm not have a foot fetish. We're going to take about 20 shots of you hitting the brakes and the gas.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I don't know what that's about either. It's a weird call mm-hmm. on their part.
There was one more escalation moment. I like this film for escalation. Mm-hmm. It didn't ever seem to escalate high enough, but near the end, when that guy throws the Molotov cocktail onto the front of her car and she's going into the parking garage on fire.
Yeah,
yes,
that was cool.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah, there were some good shots like that. Yeah,
like watch, and then just helplessly watching from the helicopter. That whole bit.
Yeah,
worked.
Yeah. See, we found something Brian liked. Hold on, this is good.
Something I liked.
Yeah.
All right. Found something I liked. Well, hey, you know what I didn't like, over. By what? The way, and what? I just looked at my notes and realized I never talked about this.
What?
Superman costume. Why do you need a mask?
That's true. Well, he
should know better. She should know better because she dated Batman.
I agree.
I don't get to speak more authoritatively than you because we both only have one kid and it's a boy. But boys, man, little boys, they choose some crazy shit and it's the hill they're willing to die on in the moment, and you just let them do it.
It's true.
All right, fine,
it's true even when you only have one, three, and one of them's a boy. That is so a boy thing for sure. Not the girls can't, but they
don't.
Don't
you feel like as a parent, it's your responsibility to make sure that their costumes are factually accurate?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No. I do. I feel that deeply.
No.
And then the whining begins, and you're like, you know what?
It's not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to. He's a knight of medieval times with a wooden sword and all the armor and gear and everything, but he wants to carry the Captain America shield. You do you, son.
Yeah.
Just let them do it.
They mix and match. It's part of their creative deal. You gotta let them go. But this kid, I saw that too and went, all right.
They're all gonna laugh at you, but go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. You do what you
Watch
gotta
out
do.
For pig blood.
Kid's a little precocious for my taste, but it's fine. Whatever. Kid actors are hard.
I like a strong kid actor when it comes to these kind of horror movies because they're the kids that do stupid crap that get you in trouble because they don't listen.
Yeah. Yes. It moves things along. I agree. Sure. But I don't. The acting styles in particular is just like you can't. Everybody can't be a Dakota or a Fanning girl. You can't all be Fannings. I get it.
But did y'all see that? Never mind. Go ahead.
Or the kid from The Room. What's his name?
Tremblay.
Or Room, not The Room. Just Room.
Yeah, Tremblay. Something.
It's Tremble.
Something Tremblay. Little
Jacob.
Jacob Tremblay. Yeah,
Jacob
that
Tremblay?
Kid's amazing. He's
really good.
Really, really good.
He can be a Fanning.
Yeah.
You can be a Fanning. I'll bet his IMDb photo stays the same age forever.
Probably will.
Yeah. He'll start looking weird in a couple of years, and then people will be like, ooh, what happened there? We can't all be Doogie Howser or whatever. Who's another good example? It can't all be Ron Howard. You can't even be Clint Howard. Actually, you could argue you can't be Clint Howard without Ron Howard.
right, exactly.
there's no.
That's not kind.
There's no. Well, I'm just saying he's the ugliest guy in the world.
I think it'd be a better world if you were all spore zombies.
Well, all right then. Good, because I have good news for you.
This is the kind of thing I think about all the time, Scott. Like, would Clint Howard have ever acted in anything? Even once, could he have gotten a role in a commercial?
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he could have done it without his brother.
When he's a kid, yes. In fact, the role for Star Trek he got without any help from his brother, his younger brother. And so,
that's true.
I think yes, but then he got weird looking real quick, and I don't know after
got
that.
Got weird looking.
I don't know after that. I think the relationship has definitely benefited him. And I don't think any of us dislike him. I think he's awesome.
He's wonderful.
Yeah. And I'm glad that it's there so that his brother puts him in his movies. And so people get reminded of who he is. And then he does all this B-level stuff. And then, you know, you just kind of know who Clint Howard is. It's a better world because of it. I prefer mm-hmm. him in it than out of it. So I don't have any negative feelings about Clint Howard. I just not sure, you know, it takes a village. And in this case, a brother, I think he's done well to connect himself to that guy.
It's like the Jack Nicholson character in A Few Good Men. We need a Clint Howard.
There
we
you
have
go.
To have a Clint Howard.
That's right. We can't handle the Clint Howard is what you're saying. That's brilliant. All right. Any final thoughts before we do clips here? Not final thoughts, but you know what I mean?
What do you guys feel about the twist ending? I mean, the one during the 70s, it was very negative. Of course, it was negative too. The 70s version was very much okay, well, we're just overrun, there is no hope, it's over. Whereas this one was, we are the bad guys. The spores were actually, you know, making things better. There was apparently a cure for AIDS according to some of the newscasts that was going on. World peace had broken out.
Did like the fact that Kim Jong Il agrees to denuclearization. Like, where have I heard that before? Do you think they were really making things better by making us like mindless drones?
That was the question, right?
Basically just like, hello, how are you today? I'll take one copy of Us magazine, please. Wow, these stars are just like us.
Right.
Beep, boop,
so
beep.
would that benefit the universe more? If we were less emotional, would that benefit the universe more?
No.
I mean, not mankind or humankind.
We need to figure out how to solve all those problems and still keep our humanity. I don't think anybody's arguing, well, you know, those spores, they've got a point.
I'm running on the spore platform and
kind of seeing their point of view on this.
It's just what humans fear. One of the things our greatest fears is having our ability to make decisions taken away from us, or our autonomous sort of agency to make a choice. When that's taken away, people rebel hard, even if they just think that's happening, which you can see a lot today in modern society. If you just think somebody's here to take away your rights, you freak out and you back into a corner like a cat. And that's so human, like from the beginning of time. And this movie plays on that, the idea of the body snatchers plays on it. In some ways, you look at it and go, look, complete nuclear, all the countries are signing the treaty. Even South Korea or North Korea just signed. They were the final holdout. Everything's going to peace and all this. And you could look at it and say, oh, well, this is actually kind of great. Maybe humans will live in peace and harmony from now on. And then it's still not good enough. I think this is where the fear comes from. I would rather live in a complicated, sometimes angry, sometimes lopsided world full of trouble and issues, then have my choice taken away from me. You need to be able to choose.
Right. But with movies, and this movie skirts up on this trope where it's a benevolent alien invasion.
Yeah.
Right? That's a trope. And it's because a screenwriter is like, I have to come up with a little bit of a twist here. I just don't want to do the same thing. The aliens are here to kill us. So I'm gonna be really super smart and come up with this extra little thing, And it actually, you know, it actually kind of works. Like, I'm expecting it to just be alien invasion that kills everybody, and no action. Oh, I see. I like that. It's not full on benevolent alien invasion.
No,
it's right. Not. They're here to help.
Right.
But it's close enough. And by the way, my favorite "they're here to help" is Scary Movie 3. Have you guys seen it?
Oh, no. I've only seen the first two.
Yeah.
So Scary Movie 3 has a bunch of alien tropes in it. And in the end, it turns out the aliens only invaded Earth because they saw The Ring, and they're trying to save everybody by killing that girl.
Isn't the best example of the "we're here to help" the Abyss?
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
Yeah. I feel like that's for me, that's the only trope that has ever worked is like, no, we're here to kind of solve things. We're not going to take things over, but we've got X amount of technology we're willing to give you guys to kind of help figure your crap out.
Yeah.
And whenever this topic comes up, I always remember the life of Brian. What have the Romans ever done for us?
Oh, you know, we mentioned said. The just realized I looked at the Wikipedia page. We mentioned the reshoots and then having to come in. We never mentioned the fact that the Wachowskis were involved with the reshoots.
We did. We mentioned it.
At the top.
Oh, we did.
Okay. Oh, yeah. We talked about
that. Oh, okay. All right.
Just for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't talk
in depth about it, but yeah.
They came in, did a rewrite, I guess, or a bunch of changes to the script, which then required the reshoots, and then they hired that second director.
I feel like they probably rewrote the ending. That's the reason why I was asking, because I was like,
yeah,
that feels like is trying to be thoughtful, but not getting.
And there. I wonder if that would have been if instead of them just coming in and putting a little bit of spit and polish on it, if it would have been like a way better movie had they been involved from the beginning.
Oh, absolutely, man! I would have loved to have seen the crazy things they would have done.
Might have been, yeah. I don't know. I mean, they were so hit and miss at this point of their career. I don't know.
Like, yeah,
2007.
2007. What were the Wachowskis?
I mean, where's the one we just saw? Speed Racer was when.
Speed Racer was.
Was that around?
What was that sound?
From the source material, I think they. I thought Speed Racer was.
Oh, Speed Racer was 2008. So the next year, V for Vendetta was a couple of years before, or really would have been around the same time because that was 2005.
Yeah,
so.
But in that case, they were just producers and help write and stuff. But yes, you make a good point. Like I would have liked to have seen their version of this probably more than I would like to see Oliver Herschel Beagle.
I would have liked to have seen you get too many cooks in the kitchen. You always end up with something like this. I think just one vision, whether it had been Oliver Herschel Beagle or if it was the Wachowskis,
Herschel Beagle.
Right. Herschel Beagle. Herschel Beagle. If there just had been one consistent, vision throughout, I think it would have been better.
He's got a movie called, let's see. This is German. Experiment. Yeah, Das Experiment. Isn't that just the experiment?
Das Experiment.
Does he not know the German word for experiment?
I know. No.
The experiment.
Wasn't
Das Invasion.
You're right. Exactly.
I mean, that's my point. It's not an English-speaking film, so why is Experiment in English and DOS isn't?
What is Experiment? Because is that...
Do the same thing in reverse. Some English-speaking people are making a movie called The Macarena, and over in Mexico, they're like, why didn't they call this La Macarena?
Decent point. Yeah, it could be that. But also, let's make a movie about the Macarena. Let's make that happen.
Please.
I'm looking up Google Translate right now to see what the German word for experiment is.
Yeah
Google Translate always solves
experiment. It is experiment?
Yeah.
It's a German word?
It totally is. Yeah.
We got some German listeners listening to this going, you idiots, he's saying.
No, they're saying congratulations on figuring it out in less than 30 seconds. I think he's proud of us for figuring it out.
Very nice. All right. Let's do some clips. Where are we? How about this? Hey, how about a deal here? Where is it? I can't find them. Oh, no, I have them. They're right here. How about this? I thought I heard this guy say eBay. So you guys tell me what you hear here, okay?
Yes, he did. I already know what it is.
Here it is.
Federal officials are removing several pieces of shuttle debris from a disturbing source, eBay.
What?
Right.
eBay.
They're trying to get all the pieces of the shuttle And some of them are already up for auction where people have picked them up and are selling them on eBay.
I thought it meant that there was debris landing on the eBay campus or something like that.
That's a disturbing
source. The eBay offices.
I found this on the roof.
It wasn't until you just said it that it clicked. Oh my gosh, my brain.
I'm just buy pieces of shuttle. I'm putting it up on eBay.
All right. It makes sense
now. Brand new piece of shuttle.
Yeah.
A++ would sell from again.
Nobody
also,
ever.
Also, pop vinyls for sale.
Yeah. Everyone has pop vinyls.
Certificate of authenticity.
Yeah. Everyone has pop vinyls. It's the way it is now. The kid is bad, and I wrote that here. Here you go.
Aww. You nervous?
Why would I be nervous?
Because we've never been apart like this, Ollie. And you haven't seen much of your dad in a long time.
I'm okay, Mom. It's gonna be fun. But I'm gonna miss you.
Yeah, you better.
We can text each other all the time.
You're right, I'm being silly.
Okay.
We can text each other with 2007 level texting technology, which is complete emails done as texts.
Yeah.
Which is FaceTime about 3 years before that was a thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is 07. It would have been that July that the iPhone was launched. And even then, it didn't have some of these same features.
Yeah.
But
yeah. FaceTime was like. Mm-hmm.
When did FaceTime
was
happen?
Like, when was FaceTime? Two generations into iPhone.
Mm-hmm. When did FaceTime come out? I'm just curious here.
2010. Yeah, we're just going to reference Google on every topic.
No, you're right. 2010. So 7, 8, 9. Yeah, like two, three years later, there it was. Boom. And now it's ubiquitous. Here's one. It's Go On Superman. Oh, yeah.
Go on, Superman.
See, that's when she should have done it, Brian. She should have stopped him and said, come here, you idiot.
Superman doesn't wear a mask.
This is so unrealistic. All right. Him and Bond get together again, I wrote.
MedWeb's buzzing with something like this. Labs in New York and Boston log some kind of weird samples. Let me do work upon it.
Doesn't look anything like anything to me.
Guys, it's the...
Let me do work upon it.
It's the MedWeb.
I think he says you know what? You're right. It sounds like it to me, too. So hold on. Let's hear it again.
MedWeb's buzzing with something like this. Labs in New York and Boston log some kind of weird samples. Let me do work upon it.
Let me do a work upon it.
Let me do a work upon it.
Let me do work upon it.
Back up. I'm doing some work upon it.
Do you wanna? I didn't feel like I captured that. Can we do a retake? No, we keep going. I'm Beagle. I'm Hirsch Beagle.
Hirsch Beagle. Hirsch Beagle never does twice. All right. here's a drive with the boy.
Imagine the pickle you'd be in if you didn't know any kids in the neighborhood.
Pickle.
Bread and butter.
Dill.
Kosher.
Sour.
Sweet and hot.
Gherkins.
Garlic
chips. Turkey.
Aww.
She's bad at the pickle game. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. What was those games that we're playing? Does anybody play that game? That's not a game I play.
No. Nope.
No.
I spy with my little eye.
And all you have to do is just say the word, and then both people automatically know the game is on. Do we have to come up with as many varieties?
Yeah.
Exactly. The magic word for the day is pickle.
It's horse
their own little Babel Royale right in the car.
Right.
here's what's this? Oh, the Czechs and the Russians fight a lot, and here's how we know.
All you need is what every Czech needs, a stiff Russian boot up your behind.
It's a pity they don't make Russian boots anymore. They're all made in China.
Oh, poor Robin Colcourt.
Yeah, that guy. So it's Robin Colcourt.
We noticed that.
But
that
he's also, he's on West Wing. He played the British prime minister or ambassador or something. He was good on there. This is a throwaway role. Although I liked it when he was crawling around the stairs and stuff.
And British Ambassador Lord John Mabry.
When he started slithering around down those steps and stuff. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yep. Pretty good. James Bond says this. Okay, so I have this is going to be fun. It'll be a little throwback. Here's James Bond or Daniel Craig saying diplomatic immunity. So here you go.
Diplomatic immunity.
And then I found this old clip from ages ago on FilmSack.
Diplomatic immunity.
Oh, nice. Of course you do.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Yep. Remember that?
Diplomatic immunity.
It's pretty good. All right. Here's, this lady.
This is Ludi.
Hello, I'm Ludi.
Oh, see, again, a whole bunch of people in this movie that can't keep whatever accent they're trying to do straight. That's Celia Weston. Yeah. who is a character actress that we've seen in like a billion things. And she looks like also, my Aunt Barb.
Also, I get what they're going for, but when I'm watching and listening, I hear L-E-W-D-I-E.
Ludi.
This
That's
is
what
Ludi.
My brain
Ludi.
Constructs, and I'm like, what are they saying about this nice old lady?
She's very lewd. Yeah. She's
lewdish.
She's only lewd when she's nude.
Yeah. Here's some stilted dialogue.
Carol, are you here for your shot? I had mine last night. I'm glad to hear that. Have you seen Oliver? I'm afraid I haven't.
Have you seen my husband Tom
good
Cruise?
To see, won't let me good to see the auto harp as a musical instrument still getting used in things, right? Ring.
Yep.
I loved my auto harp when I was a kid. Oh.
Yeah. Did you?
I did like auto harp day on music class in elementary school. That was fun.
Oh, if you went to the right church, every Sunday was auto harp day.
Oh, really? I didn't.
Was she married to Tom Cruise still at this point in 07, or is that gone by then?
Pretty close. That should be about the time, right?
I could have sworn that. No, because, I mean, he was with Penelope Cruz during Vanilla Sky, and that was...
Oh, he was?
2001?
Around the time of this, wasn't
it? When did Tom Cruise... This is great. When did Tom Cruise die is the number one search? Jeez, what does that mean?
really?
Divorce.
Is Tom Cruise my Tom Cruise?
Nicole Kidman.
What I hear you guys saying is you really want me to talk about Scientology.
No.
Get your emails ready.
No.
2089 to 2001, where it was Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's long over then. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's either with Penelope Cruz
or Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes.
Maybe he was jumping up and down Oprah's couch about this time. I'm not sure.
Could be.
Probably, yes. Let's see here. I could tell you.
All right.
Penelope Cruz, 2001 Vanilla Sky. They ended in 2004.
Yeah.
Katie Holmes, 2005 to 2012. So this would have been, he would have been involved with Katie Holmes at this time.
And so was he getting younger with each partner?
Yes.
His partners were getting younger with each Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, okay, you're right. You're right. Tom Cruise is not getting younger, but he's definitely not getting older.
Right.
Who's he married
Tom Cruise
now?
Had a magical pause button at age like 39.
I think so, yeah.
He was married at Mimi Rogers for a few years?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I did not know that. All right, so he's had three wives. He's currently not with anybody?
She was the one who got him into the Church of Scientology.
Oh, Mimi.
Come on, it'll be a good time. Come on.
Mimi Rogers.
Tom Cruise marries for life, and life is about 3 or 4 years long.
Yeah.
Eh.
Oh, he was with Patty Sciolfa and Cher?
Yeah, dude. Cher.
Wow. So it's funny. As soon as he got into Scientology, he was with Rebecca De Mornay, who was older. 3 years older than him. Patty Sciolfa, who was 9 years older than him from Bruce Springsteen's band.
Yeah.
And Cher, who was 16 years older. Then he got into Scientology. And then it was like all women that were like 10 years younger.
Wow. What's it like living with Cher? That's what I want to know.
I wish she could turn back time.
Yeah.
Turn back.
That's her voice.
Get off that battleship.
Here's
if you could make the bed.
That would be great. How come you only got a single tooth in the center of your head, she'd say.
Hey.
Here's a great exchange, and it's also my final clip. Here you go.
How can we know if we've got it inside us?
We can't. We just have to make sure we stay awake.
Oh, man. Serious business there with Jeffrey Wright. Let's do the checklist. The checklist is like this. They got Daniel Craig too. No. Check. Before Kidman invested in plastics. Check. Get it? Because, she's all rubbery now.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Wright's only job is to talk technobabble. Check. Hey, Star Trek stuff. We got one connection according to Daryl, but we know there are more because Brian and I looked at that dude with the crazy face.
Yeah, Wes Johnson.
Yeah, and he's voiced 10 Star Trek video games. So I don't know. I don't know if Daryl's thing accounts for video games. It probably doesn't.
It might not. Yeah.
But John Meyer did stunts for William Shatner in Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Also for The Voyage Home. In TNG, performed stunts as a science division officer of the episode Lonely Among Us, and he performed stunts in Star Trek First Contact. He's also doubled for Shatner in the, in the 80s television series TJ Hooker, mostly for driving car stunts. He was also doing stunts in this movie. So there you go. Well done, John Meyer. You are our only cinematic connection to Star Trek. Soundtrack great. I'd say it's fine. Whatever. I don't remember it. What was the soundtrack like? You guys remember?
A lot of auto harp.
Okay. Yeah. So,
auto harp. It was intense when it needed to be, and out of the way when it didn't need to be.
Did the job? You think? You know, like functioned? Okay. All right.
I could have gone for a proper score.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, big orchestra.
That thing I watched after the Spectrum or whatever was Tom Hulkenberg, who did, or Borg, how you say it, who did,
get over here.
He did Mad Max Fury Road, and it's a really good soundtrack, but the movie's not very good. Anyway, moving on. Hey, a Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. As tradition states, let's start with Randy.
The invasion. Scary touching happens and changes people, but it doesn't matter because it solves itself. People all over the house standing around staring at you and spitting in your mouth. Just like Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Nice.
The scary touching starts at 8 p.m.
Ooh. I'll know when to leave. Hey, Brian Dunaway, you're next.
The invasion. Like guzzling a bottle of Mountain Dew. In the end, you're probably going to spew. Hey, has anyone seen Bobo? Bobo.
Oh, Bobo.
Here, boy.
Yeah, I forgot about Bobo.
Oh, Bobo.
Chicken in the bucket.
Snap. Bobo.
Yeah, snap.
Dog in the trash.
Yeah.
Dog in the bucket.
Dog in the trash bucket. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
The invasion. Don't want to turn into a mindless drone? Don't fall asleep. Don't want to fall asleep? Don't watch the invasion.
I saw that coming.
Really good.
Good on ya.
Well done. All right. Alternative titles have just been handed to me. This is intense. Let's see here. I got this little card. These are the names the movie almost was. They almost titled it the following. First up on the block was, "You Have to Be Kid Manning Me."
Kid Manning.
Yeah. Or,
"Let me out of the car, Mom."
Yep, there you go. Or, "Better Than Scientology." But what isn't? All right. Hey, look at this. An email. Got an email from Lavaltulania. Anyway, Lassie from Finland. I don't know what this movie. I'm trying to say a name that's the movie's recommending. It's called Lava
Tubes.
Lava Lantula, I think is what it is.
Oh, Lava Lantula, yes.
Lava Lantula.
2015.
Volcano Avalanche, right?
With tarantulas.
It says, yeah, it says giant, a giant lava spitting tarantulas and the cast of Police Academy. I have nothing else to say. You know what to do. Lassie from Finland.
How many? The Police Academy.
What if we don't know what to do? We know what to do. We need to get it on the list and watch this. Dude, lava spitting tarantulas, and like Michael Winslow's probably in this or something.
I'd just like to point out Scott did know what to do.
Thank you. So hold on. Let's look it up. We can do this. We have the technology. 2015 TV movie. Oh my gosh, dude.
Sci-fi?
Steve Guttenberg, Nia Peebles.
Oh, wow. Nia Peebles in forever.
Michael Winslow. He's not kidding. Wait.
Lavalantula.
It's a giant lava spewing tarantulas.
They really figured out how to combine those two scary things, lava and tarantulas.
I'm so
guys, what if Ziering is in this?
Oh, great.
What if the Police Academy actors all enjoyed making Police Academy together and they just all live together now? Mm. And they're just like, we're just going to make other movies. And now and then one of them escapes into the wild.
Yeah.
Is there a desire for a Police Academy reboot?
Always.
There is always one being made.
Isn't it just called Super Troopers?
Maybe.
Yeah, well, but it's not really an academy.
No, it's not.
I've heard that there's one in the works. I can't confirm that, though. I don't know where I heard that, so don't count my...
I heard it out of my mouth just now. I just said it.
Ian Ziering is playing his Sharknado character, because basically this is Sharknado universe.
Oh, right. Is it really?
It's a sci-fi film, I'm assuming.
Must be.
Sounds like it.
By the way, Steve Guttenberg's IMDb photo looks like he's embarrassed to know me. Like, just look at the way he's looking at you.
Embarrassed to know you?
Yeah.
Embarrassed to be Steve Guttenberg?
No, embarrassed to be looked at by whoever's looking at him. So just look at that photo and go, He just looks like, I don't really.
Wow.
Yeah, he doesn't like looking
he's,
at me.
He doesn't look like the old, I don't know. He just doesn't look.
Well, he's not the old boy-faced actor.
He's aged. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys, did you ever see High Spirits?
No. Is that good?
Oh, no. I wouldn't mention it, but it's good. But
I have no idea what that even is. Tell me.
Yeah,
more.
It's, it was bad.
It's a Cheech and Chong ghost movie.
Right. No, I'm always watching for it to see if it comes around again. But it is got Liam Neeson, Daryl Hannah, Steve Guttenberg. So it's this weird haunted hotel kind of thing.
Oh, I remember this.
Peter O'Toole.
He's an American. She's a ghost. Vacation romances are almost always a hassle.
Oh, my gosh.
Hassle.
High spirits.
Hassle.
Just I want to submit your weekly reminder that all five of the first five Sharknado films are on Netflix streaming.
Boo!
You can watch 8 hours of Sharknado. The first one has John Hurd. The last one has Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, I just saw John Hurd in something. What did I just
there's a Frankie Muniz Sharknado in there.
I thought it was Muniz. Is it Muniz?
I don't know.
No, it's
how
Muniz.
Would I know?
It's Muniz.
I don't know.
It's Muniz.
I thought it was Muniz.
It is Muniz.
Wait, the kid Malcolm in the Middle. That's
Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know why I did the emphasis that way. Malcolm in the Middle.
In the Middle.
The second one stars Mark McGrath. I know how to pronounce that.
Yeah. It's not McGrath.
Wow. From Sugar Ray and Entertainment Tonight.
Wow.
Oh, Sugar Sharknado
Ray.
2.
Right. Mark McGrath. I forgot about him. What's he doing?
I love him.
Yeah, shouldn't have.
I don't remember.
You know, every morning there's a halo hanging on the corner of my girlfriend's four-post bed.
Oh, man, the 90s. Let's never go back. All right.
Just live there.
We got a couple of emails from listeners. That was one of them. I want to read this other one from Stephen Forrester, who says, "Hey, guys, in your episode about Hot Fuzz, the group liked that it felt like most of the bad guys not killed." I don't know. That's a weird sentence. However, do you think some of them would have been housed in the prison cells at the police station where the sea mine went off? If so, wouldn't some of them have died in that explosion? Thanks, yeah. Stephen Forrester. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think a lot of people probably died in crossfire and stuff like that, too. But, you know, we're not shown. But that's also part of what I liked about the movie is it didn't need to. Like, it was just, hey, all this crazy stuff's happening in this town. It's probably my favorite film sack we've seen in 2018. I really like Hot Fuzz a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in 2018. Guys, we've been scraping the barrel.
Yeah, a little bit. There have been some rough ones.
It really made up for some of the other garbage that we had to watch.
Did it preemptively make up for the invasion for you, Brian Ibbett?
No.
Okay.
Nothing. I don't think anything could make up for the invasion for me.
Well,
nothing
done.
Could bring balance to this sacking.
That's right.
Listen, the invasion was good for what it was, a film sack movie.
There you go.
Let's never speak of it again.
Well, have I got something for you next week?
Yeah, what is it? What are we doing?
Next week, we're going to watch The Way of the Gun. Now, maybe you haven't heard of it, but I'll have you know it's the directorial debut of one Christopher McQuarrie, who's having a moment. Christopher McQuarrie is the guy who wrote The Usual Suspects and some other films, became a director, and has just been on a tear. He's directed Jack Reacher.
Bad movie.
And the last two Mission Impossible films.
Great movies.
He wrote and directed those three.
Yeah.
But way back in 2000, he wrote and directed The Way of the Gun. And, you know, it's got a little Ryan Phillippe, Benicio Del Toro. We're going to watch
Juliette
it.
Lewis. Yes. Yeah. I'm into it. It sounds like you know what
will
it sounds like to me?
Understand a word Benicio Del Toro says in this film?
We're never intended to know what that man is saying.
He'll flip you, is what he'll say. Christopher McQuarrie, yeah, having a moment. You're right, but that Jack Reacher stuff sucks. He also wrote The Mummy. Dude, Jack Reacher sucks. the Jack Reacher movie, are you kidding me? Do we have a disagreement here? The Jack Reacher first movie bummed me out. I thought that movie was terrible. Did not enjoy.
Oh, Scott.
I didn't like it at all. The only redeeming quality of that movie is it had Werner Herzog at the end as the bad guy, and he's cool. But other than that, bummer. Right, Bummertown, USA.
I'm putting it on our lookout list.
No,
for FilmSack.
I don't want to watch it again. I don't want to watch it again.
The Bryans and I will give you a week off, Scott.
He also he wrote.
We will have such fun.
He wrote Edge of Tomorrow, which I loved. He wrote The Mummy, which is terrible. Like, he's got a spotty record in some cases, but then when he does well, he does extremely well. These last two Mission Impossible movies are amazing. They're really good.
Yes. And maybe he convinced Benicio del Toro to enunciate. It could happen.
Do you guys remember The Tourist? You remember The Tourist? That terrible movie with Angelina Jolie, Johnny Depp? Remember that?
I remember it existed. I did not watch it.
It's horrible. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, straight up, period, across the board. Wow. He wrote that. So I'm just saying, it's not perfect.
You're seeing a lot of crap, too.
It's not perfect. You know, it's got some stuff.
We'll find out next week on FilmSack.
Yeah, we will. That's next week right here on FilmSack. Come on back for that. We're never doing Jack Reacher. I'm telling you now, I'll veto it. I'm not doing it. Let's see. Or the sequel, which I have not seen. All right. Well, that's it then. So be here next week for that. Our website is filmsack.com. You can leave us emails at filmsack@gmail.com or right there on the site if you'd like. Also leave comments on the blog post for each episode. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that at FilmSack. And leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. Ooh, we'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Come on, Superman.
Yeah.